Today's sermon comes to us from the 21st chapter of the Revelation of St. John. When St. John wrote this book, he was in exile on the island of Patmos for the gospel of Christ. Really good reminder that even today we have Christians persecuted around the world for our faith. And also a very good reminder that Christ has already promised us triumph and victory over sin and death. Because as St. John wrote back in AD 96, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The church lives in this time, but we always have an eye set to the eternal. We may be present here now in Greensboro, Alabama, but people of God, we have an eternity waiting for us in a new heaven and a new earth. And I think sometimes we really need the reminder of that. After all, you have to admit, these past few weeks have been rather rough here in our country. We have a major hurricane that hammered Florida. Right after a major hurricane hammered the Carolinas, we've had racially motivated mass murders on at least two occasions in the past few weeks. We have an upcoming national election this week, and it seems that these things all draw our focus to this world and this time and our situation today. But we can never forget that we have one foot in the eternal, in this life, but we also have one foot in the eternal. And most of the church this week on Thursday celebrated the Feast Day of All Saints, but the passage today comes from those readings. And I look forward to All Saints each year because it helps me maintain a perspective here. First off, I realize that I don't stand here on my own. Somebody told me about Jesus. And as I was telling a crew on Wednesday night, and we had a discussion about it up at Shelton this week, I still remember Francis Baker teaching me Sunday school when I was 5 years old in my daddy's first pastorate. And I don't remember the lessons, but I remember her devoting her time and devoting her life to teaching us at Patton Hill Baptist Church each Sunday so that we would have an idea of the love of Jesus. And I remember other Sunday school teachers as I grew up who devoted their lives to me. And I remember people who have poured their lives into me. And that reminds me that I'm not here on my own. God sent those people into my life. Oh, my Lord, Miss Vernon Spence in my first pastorate. I'm going to tell you right now, I've told God many a time I was not ready to lose Miss Vernon when I did. I needed her, but God put her in my life at that certain time. Kermit Nevin and Marie Thomas and others from my second pastorate. God puts people in our lives to bring us here. And I've also gotten something else out of All Saints. You look around right now and you may be tempted to think, John, it ain't ever been this crazy before. Well, friend, I hate to break it to you, but it's been a heck of a lot crazier than what you've seen here lately. This world has seen a whole lot of crazy out of humans. It seems that we live to cause crazy. And it's almost as if we thrive in crazy. But the church has survived this. And I can't obsess about what's going on now, because I remember the church has survived a whole lot worse. And the passage today tells us that there's an eternal city that precedes anything in creation, and also will outlast anything in creation. All the stuff that we're enduring right now, I'm not downplaying it. Yes, folks, it is important. I know it's important. You see the wheels turning and you wonder, where's all this going to end? Lord, I hope it doesn't end the way it did the last time these wheels turned. But you still see all this, but we always remember we have a city yet to come. And in the book of Revelation, I know it's one of the most misunderstood books in all of the scriptures. As a matter of fact, back last semester when I was teaching New Testament survey, one of the students in there said, well, isn't it a shame that everybody doesn't read the book of Revelation because it's the most important book in the Bible? Well, it's an important book. Probably the most important book. Except for Paul's letters, that tell us how to live. Except for the Gospels, that tell us about Jesus. Except for the book of Acts, that tells us we're supposed to be spreading the gospel. Oh, by the way, except for the prophets in the Old Testament who tell us there is salvation coming. And oh, by the way, let's not forget Psalms. Hey, I love the book of Psalms. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And Ephesians is my favorite book of the Bible. Until Romans, it's my favorite book of the Bible. And you kind of see the point. Revelation is a glorious book. Don't misunderstand this book. If you read this book and you miss the worship of Almighty God in this book, you have totally missed the point. Almost from verse 1 until the last verse, boy, I tell you, you have a church service going on. And it's something we have never experienced in this life and we cannot experience in this life. But this passage tells us why the service is going on. The service is going on because Satan's going to fail. All this going on right now, Satan is going to fail. I remember reading something a long time ago that said the next time the devil tries to remind you about your past, you remind him about his future. Folks, he's a failure. Jesus has already won. And when we believe in Jesus, we join that crew. We join that family, that terrible army with banners that defeats evil at every turn. And Paul says that one day at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And today, in this passage, we see the result of that confession. A new heaven and a new earth. Some people would say, well, why does God have to create a new one? After all, this one's kind of beautiful, isn't it? Now, some of us were talking a little earlier about how it seems that this morning, I'm telling you, God's kind of showing out. Have y'all seen the beauty of this day? Goodness, we were going up Highway 14 this morning for breakfast, and everything was on display. Absolutely beautiful. But this heaven and this earth have been tainted by the sin of humanity. God will create a heaven and earth that never knows sin, that never knows sickness, that never knows pain, that never knows death, that never knows warfare, that never knows evil. And that creation will never experience sin or temptation or illness or death. And John says the sea was no more. Well, it turns out that in the Bible, you often see the word sea to mean the Gentile nations. The sea to the Hebrews meant chaos. If there's any lesson you get out of the Old Testament, when the Hebrews go to the ocean, it's stay off the water. I mean, you've got everybody getting drowned except for Noah the first time we see seas pop up. Some of the Hebrew kings build ships and the sea wrecks the whole fleet. Let's not even talk about Jonah. What happens when he hits the water? As a matter of fact, you get in Scripture, and about the only time the sea does anything good is when Jesus is alive, and he doesn't just float on the sea, he walks on it. There is no more sea, which means no more chaos, no more sin to ruin what God has created. Instead of a sea in chaos and trouble, we see a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Jerusalem has always served as the special place and salvation of humanity. God chose Jerusalem a long time ago, and that's where he put his temple. And it seems that even though David's descendants blew it and Jerusalem was destroyed, God never forgot Jerusalem. And here's the thing. In the new Jerusalem, we will dwell completely in safety and security. And how do we know that we're not going to have to worry about the warfare and the evil and the sin and the death and everything in this new Jerusalem? Because John tells us the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And yeah, it's a little catchy, and I've used it before, but it's kind of cool, so I'm going to use it again. Sin cannot abide where God himself resides. You're not going to have any sin because God himself will be there. Satan's never going to get in this one the way he got in ours today. And the sufferings are not going to appear. God's going to wipe away every tear. No more death. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. For the former things have passed away. No death, because death is the penalty for sin. No sin, no penalty. And then John hears some beautiful words. He says, I am making all things new. I'm going to tell you, I love getting out and seeing the beauty of this time of year. Now, fall has always been my favorite season. And I love to see the beauty as the trees change colors and they shed their leaves. And right now, I'm telling you, it's a breathtaking commute up to Shelton Land every day. It is just absolutely fabulous. But it doesn't matter how big I can imagine. And to quote this guy from Star Wars, I can imagine pretty big. God's creating something so much greater. He is creating something unimaginable to John Alexander. And I don't mind mentioning that, and I don't mind admitting that, because trust me, it's bigger than anything you can imagine too. And he tells John, just in case we kind of have a doubt, Jesus tells John, write this down. These words are trustworthy and true. And then God says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And everyone who's thirsty, God will give water from the spring of the water of life. Everyone who conquers, who lives a salvation lifestyle, who stays faithful and true to God, will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. In the Roman world, whenever somebody adopted somebody else, that person received all of the benefits and privileges of the natural born children. People of God, Paul tells us that when we are born again, we are adopted into the family of God. We become co-heirs with Christ. I don't know about you, but wow! That's amazing. God gives this to us, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us, and he gives it to us out of grace. And it doesn't matter what we find here. We're going to have conquest of sin and death, not because we did it, but because Jesus did it. We're going to have the eternal life because we have received the spirit of adoption as sons. We belong to God. And he is going to keep us safe. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that life's going to be all Pollyanna and it's going to be all, a bed of roses and everything like that. Lord, no, I can't lie to you like that. But I can tell you, no matter what you're going through right now, you're on the other side of it because God brought you through. No matter what you're going to go through out there in life, you can face it with the confidence of Christ, knowing that God's going to bring you through. And it's passages like this that really speak to us and remind us, as we remember those who have died in the faith, that they've already gone through some tough times too. And now they're on the other side. Now their faith has been made sight. Yes, we have lost people to death that we love. This church has hosted many a funeral. Unfortunately, I have presided over far more funerals than I ever have weddings or infant dedications. But here's the thing. Those who have died in the faith are not lost to death. They are victorious in eternity. They now live eternally in the presence of their loving Father and His Son, whose death made it possible for them to live eternally and to look forward to that resurrection. And yes, this should remind us that we should have no reason to fear some of the stuff going on. Look, y'all, I'm just going to be honest with you. I told somebody this past week, it concerns me that we have so many people driven by fear in our society today. We're afraid this bunch is going to take over, and we're afraid this bunch is going to persecute us, and we're afraid of this bunch over here and this bunch over here. Y'all, I'm just going to go ahead and give you some encouragement here. I'm your pastor, but I'm not going to order you. But I'm going to tell you right now, this afternoon, go home and turn off the cable news networks, okay? Turn them all off. I don't care which side you listen to. I don't care if it's Fox, CNN, MSNBC. I don't care who your favorite person is. Turn them off. Give yourself a week. If you can last that long, I have confidence that you can. You last a week, and you see if you don't see things just a little better than you were. Folks, they're peddling in fear. Christians, we have not received the spirit of fear that Christ, Paul tells us. We have received the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Forget the fear. Go forward in faith. You have so many people who are so scared of everything. They're scared of their own shadows right now. They're scared that person walking in may have a gun. They're scared this person over here needs a gun but doesn't have one. Oh, don't worry. Hey, this is Greensboro. If somebody needs a gun and they don't have one, we can cough up a gun. Amen? Of course we can. This is Greensboro, Alabama. We got more guns than we have cows. I mean, don't live in fear, people. Let me tell you, John wrote this book because of that vision he experienced because the Emperor Domitian put him on an island. He's 90-some years old. He's out there on a mining island, and God gave him this glorious vision. And here's the thing. Is our nation going to face some changes? Is our nation going to go through some stuff that some people are scared it's going to go through? I don't know. You know, I've been ordained twice, and I thought that the second time I was ordained in the PCA, I'd finally get my x-ray vision. I'd be able to look into people's hearts, tell whether they were saved or not. Well, didn't happen. Disappointed. You know, I kind of wish that when they laid hands on me up here, when the elders laid hands on me, that I'd have received some sort of prophetic power so I could tell you what was coming down the pike. They failed me again. I don't know what's coming. Let me tell you what is going to happen, y'all. Let me tell you the story. I'm going to summarize it in a couple of sentences. Satan loses. We win. Amen?
Amen.
You got that right. Satan loses. We win. We've already endured persecution. We are here because of persecution. That's how come so many Christians came over to the New World in the first place. Oh, I remember a few years ago that one of the cardinals of the Catholic Church, the church got a threatening letter from the government saying, well, if you don't support this, we're going to pull our federal funding from you. And the guy says, oh, please, is that the best you can do? Some of the Roman emperors actually baked people on the coals and everything, and you're threatening to pull our funding. Woo, I'm so scared. The church has survived a whole lot worse. We're going to survive some more. Jesus has defeated sin and death with his death and resurrection. And John promises that sure enough, evil is gone. It's in its last stages. But the war is won. I want you to know that regardless of what happens this Tuesday, the church triumphant is alive and well. You've got a bunch of folks out there who think that they have pinned all of their hopes on one political party or another. They've got all these folks out here, oh gosh, the sky is going to fall in and our nation's going to go all immoral and everything. Y'all, our nation's been immoral since the first pilgrims landed, okay? Because when the pilgrims landed, there were already a bunch of Englishmen wrecking it down in Jamestown that got there about 13 years earlier. I'm going to tell you, it's not about how our nation was founded. It's about what the church does today. And regardless of what happens this week, All Saints reminds us that the church triumphant is alive and well. And I'll tell you right now, regardless of what happens, regardless of who wins and who loses, and regardless of what happens between now and next week, the church militant will meet in this building and we will worship the living God. We will worship in victory, not in fear. We will worship in victory and not in defeat. And no matter what happens this week, I want you to go out. And don't worry, it's going to be the same thing up in Shelton Land too. We're going to go out this week and we're going to remind people with our lives that we worship a living God who has already won. So yeah, we're going to see the effects of sin. Nations rise and fall. It's been going on for a long time. This reminds us that the church triumphs. This table reminds us that every day for nearly 2,000 years, people have celebrated a broken body and shed blood and victory in an empty tomb. So Christian, as we come to this table, as we are reminded of the sacrifice of Christ, I don't just encourage you, I expect you to remember victory, not only through the saints who have gone before, but through those of us who live today and those of us who will be alive when it all comes to an end. Take this body and this bread, this cup, in victory today. Would you please stand and join me in the first three verses of 767 for all the saints.